Great to see you. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. You know, our study of Hebrews, there's so much there. The book of Hebrews, of course, written to these Jewish believers, and they had trusted in Christ. And best we can tell, as we study through the book, they had trusted in Christ as Savior. Persecution came. They turned away. They put themselves back under Mosaic law. The writer, of course, writes to encourage them, as to charge them to turn back to God, to trust God even in the persecution, and go on to maturity. That's the plan. You know, when believers fall away, and that's what this passage and this book actually talks about, they do not lose salvation, as some say. They lose fellowship with God, fellowship with believers. They lose opportunity for rewards and service and blessing, and they are disciplined by their Heavenly Father. But you don't lose salvation. And as we move into chapter 4, we're seeing the what we call the second warning of the book of Hebrews. Let me say this, and I was going to say that after I pray, but you know, I think chapter 3 and chapter 4 are the two hardest chapters in the book of Hebrews, because it doesn't flow as well. He's talking about this rest. He's given this warning in two chapters, and as you know, the warning passages are the hardest ones to try to put together anyway. So we've had two chapters, basically, of the same warning over and over, and I think when he talks about the rest of the Christian life and the rest and the Sabbath rest and all that, I think once we get out of chapters 3 and 4, I think we're going to be able to, it's going to be more exciting, because he's going to start talking about the priesthood, and he's going to talk about the Old Testament tabernacle and sacrifices. It'll be a little bit easier to understand. This two passages, I think, in chapter 3 and chapter 4 are a little bit difficult to put together. The book is famous for the warning passages, and so many have taken the warning passages to lose salvation. But as we know, a believer cannot lose salvation. You're saved simply by faith in Jesus Christ, and you can't lose your rewards. I mean, you can lose rewards, but you can't lose salvation. In the warning passage, the writer does not want believers to miss what he calls the rest. And then when I say rest of the Christian life, I'm not talking about the remainder of the Christian life. I'm talking about the rest in it, the settling and resting and have the security and the trust, and that's what he's talking about. So when we see it and he says, they will not enter my rest, or they will not do this, we're talking about that resting in God. We understand rest of the Christian life is that, and he is encouraging believers to go on to maturity. We can say the same thing about us. We trust Jesus Christ as Savior. We have eternal life. But are we going to trust God as we go day by day, moment by moment? Are we going to rest in God? And that's really what he's talking about. So there's a lot tonight. We're going to look at chapter 4, and we're going to go verses 1 through 11. And we'll go as quickly, basically, as we can through this so you can see how it fits together. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for a great night. Thank you for each one that is here. Thank you, first of all, for the meal that you provided for us, and just that we can come to the church and eat if we want to and just have a great time. And Lord, thank you that we come together tonight. We'll have an opportunity to pray and opportunity to sing and then opportunity to study your word. And so, Lord, we just ask you that as we look at Hebrews chapter 4 and this whole idea of the rest and the warning passages, that we'll understand and be able to put it together, and then we'll make application, because we understand that there is a warning for all of us, and that is not to miss the rest in the Christian life. And so, Lord, we want to understand that as well. Lord, we ask you that you'd teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've talked in the past about the word salvation, because when people use it, almost all of the times when you say salvation, people think, oh, we're thinking of eternal life salvation. But I want you to realize the Bible uses the word salvation in a lot of ways. It could be salvation, eternal life. It could be salvation from an enemy. It could be salvation from death or physical harm. It could be salvation from the power of sin in our lives. It could be even salvation in the future when he's talking about the kingdom or the eternal state. So the word salvation can mean a lot of different things. So you always have to look at the passage to see what he's talking about. As we look at God's or think about God's plan of salvation, there are three aspects or three phases. Now, we've mentioned that a lot of times. I've given you a handout. I'm going to remind you of it tonight. But I want you to understand that when we look at chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Hebrews, and he keeps using the word rest, he's really using rest as a type of salvation. Sometimes he uses it, the idea of what we call eternal life salvation. Sometimes he uses it of the Christian life salvation. And sometimes he even uses it of the future, which we call the glorification of the eternal state salvation. And so we have to just see that as we go through. That's why I think chapter 3 and chapter 4 are so hard, because normal reading of that, you'd go, what's he talking about? What rest is he talking about? Let me remind you of the three aspects of salvation and how it ties into this chapter. First of all, there's salvation, what we call, from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death, and when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're saved from the penalty of sin. And we call this justification, and that's like eternal life salvation, and it comes by faith. Now, in chapter 3 and 4 of the book of Hebrews, he shows a picture of what we'd call eternal life salvation, or justification salvation, The picture is the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. That's their salvation, eternal life salvation. And he says in chapter 3, verse 16, he says, indeed, was it not all of those who were led out of Egypt by Moses? That's what he talks about there. And that's the Passover lamb and the blood of the lamb and faith and all of that. Then there's a second aspect of salvation that we see all the time. It's called salvation from the power of sin in your life. That's called sanctification. The first one's called justification. This one's called sanctification. It's present tense. It's the Christian life, and it's a walk of faith. In Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, he defines this type of salvation as the rest of the Christian life, or the rest, entering the rest of the promised land. The picture is Jewish people were believers, they came out of Egypt, and they were supposed to trust God to enter the promised land, which was a picture of the Christian life. Some did, some didn't. That's what he's talking about, and there's the warning. Then finally, there is a salvation that is from the presence of sin. That's in the future. It's called glorification. And that's the time in which we'll be with Jesus Christ in the kingdom, in the eternal state. In Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, he uses another term. He calls it a Sabbath rest. In fact, he even says, and we'll see it in the passage tonight, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And he's not talking about Christian life or in the promised land. He's talking about a future thing. So when we see salvation, there is justification, sanctification, glorification. Justification, you have been saved. Sanctification, you are being saved. Glorification, you will be saved. One is eternal life salvation. The other is Christian life salvation. The other is the future time with God salvation. That's what he's talking about. In this passage, the Jews coming out of Egypt is eternal life salvation. The Jews entering the promised land is Christian life salvation. And the Jews entering, or anybody entering the Sabbath rest, is the eternal future kingdom salvation. So he uses all three. That's why I think the passage is hard to understand. So as we get this, if you can understand that, and I hope you do, as we understand these things, we can get a good idea of what this warning's all about. Now, let me remind you of what's happened. These Jewish people had believed in Jesus. That's a picture of any Jew in their mind in this book coming out of Egypt being saved. They're not trusting God in the Christian life. That's the same picture of the Jews who refused to trust God to enter the promised land. The writer in Hebrews is saying, don't make the same mistake that the Jews in the Old Testament made when they trusted God to come out of Egypt, but didn't trust God to go into the promised land. He's saying the same thing. He goes back to Deuteronomy 14, which is where that happened. He goes back and quotes Psalm 95, where David writes about that event. So we want to see that. Let's look at it now. Let me break down the passage for you just so you can see it. Chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11. Verses 1 and 2, it's the exhortation to don't miss it. And then in verses 3 through 7, he gives back and talks about Old Testament, Moses and Joshua. Then verses 8 and 9, he talks about a future Sabbath rest. And then finally in verses 10 and 11, which is how we'll end it tonight, he gives a second exhortation, don't miss the rest. So we'll see how it ties together. Let's see the warning. If you remember, he's just been talking about this same thing. So for two chapters, because you may say, Jebby, you talked about the same thing last week. Yeah, because that's the passage talked about the same thing last week. And it's going to be a little bit more if we can finally get out of this. We're going to see this at least tonight. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. He says, therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. Now, the therefore, whenever you see that, always goes back. It's a summary statement. It goes back to the end of chapter 3 where he raised three questions and he answered them. Do you remember his three questions? Verse 16, he said, who provoked God when they heard? And then he answers it. Wasn't it all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Who was it that God was angry with for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned and bodies fell in the wilderness? And who did he swear that they would not enter the rest, those who were disobedient? So the three questions basically go back to the nation of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And he said, who was it that didn't listen to him? Those that came out of Egypt and refused to enter the promised land. And then he ends chapter 3 by saying, so we see that they were not able to enter the rest, enter the promised land because of unbelief. They didn't trust God. Now, therefore, since that's true, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to come short of it. Now remember who he's writing to, Jewish people who had believed but weren't trusting God in their Christian life. We'd call it that way. And he says, therefore, let's fear. There should be fear there. What? While the promise remains of entering the rest, that you would come short of it. Why? Because they didn't believe. He says, be careful. Be careful. Don't miss it. Let's fear while a promise remains of entering his rest. While you're still alive, while you still have the opportunity. You know what could happen to them now? What could happen to them is they could die in a state of rebellion. Now, that has nothing to do with salvation, but it sure has a lot to do with rewards. And he's saying to these Jewish believers, listen, just like the nation of Israel failed to trust God to go into the promised land, that whole generation of them died in the wilderness and they missed out on the blessings. He said, don't let the same thing happen to you. You've got the opportunity to enter the rest. Now, to enter the rest would mean to trust God every day. And it's the same for all of us in this room. I'm hoping, pray, every one of us in the room have already believed in Jesus Christ as for salvation, as our Savior. And so we'd say, I've got eternal life salvation. Yes. But are you entering the rest of this Christian life? Are you trusting God day after day? And he's saying, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Watch what he goes on to say. He says that that you might come short of it. For he explains, for we indeed have had the good news preached to us just as they did, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Now he says, we've had the good news preached to us. And he's not just talking about salvation there. When I say salvation, the gospel message of eternal life, he's not just talking about that. He's saying, we've got the good news. We've got the good news about eternal life and the Christian life. And we've had all that given to us, talked to us, just as they did. They knew to believe in the promise, the Lamb of God, to bring them out of Egypt. They knew that God would take them into the promised land. It says they knew about it, but it didn't profit them any. It wasn't for their benefit. Why? Because it was not united by faith in those who hear. They didn't believe God. Now, the truth is this. Promises always must be united with faith. The Bible has a lot of promises for us. Now, there are a lot of things that people just open up the Bible and they'll put out a verse and I'll give you one. When people say, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, that has nothing to do with us. It's the nation of Israel right before they go into captivity. It's not a promise to us. It's not even talking to us. But you'll see people use that all the time, especially for America. But there are many promises that are for us. Now, the only way that a promise is to your benefit is that you believe that promise. This nation of Israel came out of Egypt. They did not believe the promise that God was giving them the land flowing with milk and honey and that he would take them in and destroy the enemy within. They didn't believe him. And that's why it says it was no profit to them because it wasn't united by faith in those who heard. For any promise to be beneficial to us, we must believe God. If the Word of God says he will provide every need that you have, if you don't believe him, you don't have that promise. You've got to trust him to claim, in a sense, the promises. Now watch what he goes on to say. Because he says, listen, don't miss it. Don't be like them. We've got the truth. They had the truth. It didn't help them any because they didn't believe it. For we, verse 3, for we who have believed enter the rest. And he's talking about himself. Whoever writes this is saying, listen, I've believed and I'm entering. And literally in the Greek it says we are entering that rest. The writer of the book of Hebrews is saying, look, I believed God and I'm resting in him day after day after day. Now, they're not. And so he goes on to say, just as he has said, and I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest. He quotes again Psalm 95. That's about the fourth time that he quotes Psalm 95. He's going to quote it again before he's through. And he keeps reminding them that God says, if you don't trust me, you can't enter my rest. And we'd say the same thing. If you want to have the rest in the Christian life, you're going to have to trust God. That's his analogy. That's the picture. Now, he says, God swore in his wrath they would not enter his rest. Now, here's the next part, and it's a little bit hard, so listen to what he's going to say. He says, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, God's plan for Israel and for every human being has already been worked out. It's planned, as he says, his works were finished from the foundation of the world. God has already, as far as God is concerned, done it all. Past, present, and future. There is no future for God. He's not sitting around going, I wonder what's going to happen 500 years from now. I haven't even done that yet. He's done it all. What did it say about Jesus Christ? He's the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. As far as God was concerned, Jesus was crucified long before there was ever a creation. Because God's plan is already set. He says here that they did not enter his rest, although he had already planned and worked it out that there would be a way for them to rest, that there is a salvation, there is a Christian life, there is a future aspect. And he says, I have that all planned, I have that all worked out, although they did not enter my rest because they didn't trust me. Do you realize that as far as God is concerned, past tense, you are already justified, is that right? And then after that, you're now being what? Sanctified, and then you will be glorified. But did you know in the book of Romans, what does it say? For whom he justified, he also has glorified. It's past tense. You realize that you already glorified as far as God is concerned? Because that's his plan. Now he says he's done it all. Now, he's going to talk a little bit about his creation because he's going to say this. For he has said somewhere, this is verse 4, he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. He quotes Genesis 2:2, saying God's rested from all his works. Now, notice, it didn't say God has rested from the creation. What did it say? God has rested from all his works. That's the entire plan. As far as God is concerned, he's already done it all. He's already planned salvation. He's already planned all Christian life, the rest of the Christian life. He's already planned the future. Now he comes back and says, and again, in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Why? Because they didn't believe. Now, how do we enter the rest of the Christian life? It's by believing, and it's by a walk of faith. Colossians 2:6 says, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Anybody know? Walk ye in him. It's a walk of faith. We believed for salvation. We walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk not by sight, but by faith. It's the same thing. Now, watch your statement, because I'm going to try to put it together for you. He says, therefore, once again, he's got a summary. He said, don't miss the thing. They missed it. God's already got it already. You don't have to miss it. And he says, therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had the good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. He says it's possible for some to enter the rest. Who is he talking to there? To these Jews, to these Jewish Christians, he says, it's possible for you to still enter the rest. You can still have the rest of the Christian life. You can still trust God. You don't have to miss it. You don't have to be like those Jews in the past who came out of Egypt and then never made it. Now, if they continue in the way they're going, what's going to happen to these Jewish believers that he wrote to in the book of Hebrews? They're going to what? They're going to miss the rest. That's what he's warning them about. That's what the whole book is about. That's why I think chapter 3 and chapter 4 are so hard. Because in a veiled way, he could have just said, if you guys don't start trusting God, you're going to die and miss all the blessings. He could have said it that way. It would have been two lines and we wouldn't be going through chapters 3 and 4. But what he said is, I want to show you the analogy. Don't be like your ancestors who came out and didn't make it. Because the same thing's going to happen to you. He says, there remains for some to enter the rest. It can happen. And then he goes on to say, and those who formerly had good news preached to them, they failed to enter. Why? Because of disobedience. Anytime, and disobedience, of course, is unbelief. That's what he's talking about. He wasn't talking about their actions. Their actions ultimately were they didn't trust God to go in. And they formerly had the good news to them, but because of their disobedience, they didn't trust God. Now, in this passage, he keeps giving this idea of a rest of God. Now, there's something I want you to understand. Every generation of believers, if you go and we use the book of Hebrews, if you want to use the book of Hebrews, every generation of believers has an opportunity to enter the rest. Every one of us have believed in the Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ. So technically speaking and metaphorically speaking, we've all come out of Egypt. And now we're sitting there ready to trust God to go into the promised land, which is the Christian life and the blessings that God has for us. And He's going to say to us, now today, will you believe and trust and enter the land? These Jewish people, that's what He's asking them. Will you promise, will you trust My promises and enter the land? For us, we could say exactly the same thing. Are we going to trust Him? Notice what He says in verse 7. He again fixes a certain day today. There is a today for every generation of believers. Notice what He says. Saying through David, after so long a time, just as He said before, today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts. What does it mean to harden your hearts? Do what? To not believe, to not trust Him. He says, now David wrote in the Psalm, in the same thing, there's a today for every one of us. Today, don't harden your hearts. Don't miss it. He fixes that day. Now, over and over for us, He continually tells us, trust Him and don't harden your hearts. Now, let me tell you, I think for a lot of Christians, what happens to us is we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and we get so excited because we got eternal life and we know we're going to heaven. And then the pulls of this world or the pressures of this world, or as Jesus says sometimes, the thorns and thistles of life or the blessings of life actually pull us away from wanting to trust God moment by moment, day by day. And we begin to trust ourselves or not believe God and His promises. And before you know it, instead of us entering the rest, we miss the whole thing. There are a lot of Christians who don't make it. And when I say don't make it, they're not living the abundant Christian life. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it what? More abundantly. Now, what happens in our culture, especially our Christian culture? There are a lot of Christians, there are people who believe in Jesus and then they don't enter the rest. And what a lot of Christians do is they look at them and they say, you're not a Christian. If you were a real Christian, you'd live for God. You would trust Him. Now, I want you to understand that there are a lot of people who don't look like Christians who are Christians. And there are a lot of people who look like Christians who aren't Christians. There are a lot of people who have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, have eternal life, and are living not trusting God, and they don't look like Christians. And there are other people who have gone to church all their life and live good lives and are believing in their good works, and they look like Christians, but they're not. So be careful. It's not how you look. It's who you have believed in. Either you believe in yourself and your good works, or you believe in Jesus Christ and you have eternal life. Now, what we want to do as believers is to go on to maturity. That's what the book of Hebrews is about. We want to go on to maturity. So there's a challenge for all of us from this book, and that is, where are we in our Christian life? Are we growing? Are we trusting God daily? We've come out of Egypt by, in a sense, trusting the Passover lamb. That's Jesus Christ. Are we trusting God to enter the rest of the Christian life? Because the whole rest of this book, once we get out of chapter 4, whole rest of the book, He's going to keep going back and saying, you don't need all that stuff in the past because you got Jesus. You don't need the sacrifices. You don't need that old priesthood. You don't need the tabernacle. You don't need all this. You've got Jesus. The generation of Jews who came out of Egypt didn't believe God enough to enter the promised land. Do you believe God enough to enter the abundant life? Because that's what it's all about. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with rewards and blessing. And He does not want them to miss it. That's why the book of Hebrews is so hard, because most people who read this book, whenever they see the warning passage and says, don't miss it, don't fall short, don't be unbelieving, they naturally assume that that means the person has lost their salvation. Does not mean that at all. So let's see what He does. He's going to change a little bit, because in verse 8 He says, today if you hear His voice, end of verse 7 He says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Now He's going to do something that He's not talked about all the way up to this point in time. He's barely mentioned coming out of Egypt. He spent His whole time talking about entering the rest of the promised land. And out of the blue, He's going to talk about something in the future. Now let me ask you this question. Who brought the children of Israel who believed God into the promised land? Joshua. He gave them the rest of the Christian life, right? We call it that. Watch what the next verse says. But if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. Now we'd say, but didn't Joshua give them the rest of the Christian life? He did. He's not talking about the rest of the Christian life. What rest is he talking about? The which one? Now, they're in that's sanctification is the Christian life. Which one would it be? Glorification. Now, watch what the next verse says. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Every one of us in this room have the rest of eternal life because we came out of Egypt. We trusted in Jesus. Every one of us who are trusting God moment by moment have the rest of the Christian life. But there remains for all of us a Sabbath rest. When's that going to be? When Jesus comes back and we're with Him and we're with Him in the kingdom and eternal state and all of that. That's what we're talking about. Watch what He says. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. He said if Joshua had given them the rest, he wouldn't have spoken of another day, but there is a future day. That day is called the kingdom, the time when Jesus Christ rules and reigns and we're with Him. So we look forward to the Sabbath rest. Now, finally, He's going to come back in verses 10 and 11 and do the same thing that He's done four or five times in chapters 3 and 4, and that is to challenge them. Don't miss the rest of the Christian life. He says, for the one who has entered his rest, he himself has also rested from his works just as God did. Now, to enter the rest of the Christian life, what do you have to do? You have to quit trying and saying, I'm going to trust God to give me what the abundant life. And then he summarizes it, therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. The word diligence means make every effort. Let's make every effort we can to enter the rest of the Christian life so that we won't fall like they did and follow their example. Now you realize that a lot of the things written in the Old Testament were written for examples for us. Listen to this, Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and encouragement of Scriptures, we might have hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 says, now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction upon whom the end of the ages have come. Now chapter 3 and chapter 4 plainly say this to us. First of all, it says it to these Jewish believers, don't be like that generation who came out and didn't trust God. Don't do it. He says to us, trust God moment by moment, so you can have the victory. Because there's something for you even in the future. And there's the rest, the Sabbath rest for the people of God. Now, let me give you, before I give you the two applications, what we've seen is the warning is don't miss the rest of the Christian life. The Exodus Jews missed it. They didn't trust. There remains a rest now. There is even a future rest coming. It's called the Sabbath rest. And then he charges them a second time, make every effort to enter the rest. Let me give you the two applications that we have. The first one is, let's be diligent to enter God's rest today. That's us. There are a lot of Christians who don't enter the rest of the Christian life. They don't do it. There is a today for every generation, every group of people who believe, all of us, we have that opportunity. We're to trust God daily. We're to take God at His word. We're to rest in Him day by day. We're to walk by faith by the word of God. Second, here's the other thing. Let's realize God has a future rest for us. Most people call that heaven, but the Bible doesn't use it that way. The Bible says there's going to come a time on this earth which is called the kingdom. It's called the millennial kingdom, which Jesus Christ rules as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then following that, a continuation, really, of the kingdom is what we call the eternal state. The kingdom, a lot of people get it confused and they think the thousand-year reign of Christ is the kingdom and then the eternal state has nothing to do with the kingdom. But the Bible calls the kingdom many times the eternal kingdom. So the first part of the kingdom is just the 1,000 years on this earth, and then He's going to make a what? New heavens and a new earth. So we will spend an eternity with Him, and that's the Sabbath rest. I thank God that in Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, I got the first kind of rest that He talks about. We thank God that day after day after day, as we trust Him moment by moment, we can enter what's known as the rest of the Christian life. And we look forward to the day in which we will, there remains for the people of God a Sabbath rest in which we will be resting with our Savior for all eternity. It's a pretty powerful thing. So as we look toward the future rest, may we walk by faith so we can enter the rest of the Christian life. Let me pray, and then any questions, comments, anything, because this passage is kind of hard, and if there's anything you want us to try to explain or think through, we'll do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage. And Lord, we know that in the book of Hebrews, these two chapters, they're saying the same thing over and over to these Jewish people. Don't miss the rest of the Christian life. Don't be like those Jews in the past. Lord, we can take your word and make application in our own lives. And that is, we who have believed in Jesus, we don't want to miss the abundant Christian life and to be able to enjoy the blessings even now. Lord, we look forward to the day in which there is a Sabbath rest for the people of God. But right now, Lord, we want to be obedient and we want to live for you and make a difference for you and enter the rest of the Christian life, the abundant life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.